Hi, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming to the Switch reading. I am very happy to have reading tonight C.E. Putnam all the way from Singapore, and Kelly Sherman from right here in Portland. We had planned a third reader, Susan Landers from Brooklyn. Unfortunately, she can't come tonight because of a family emergency, so we won't have Sue, but we're really happy to have C.E. Putnam and Kelly with us. And we will start with C.E., but before that, whoa, this is loud, isn't it? Am I super loud?
No.
That's a little bit better? Okay, I'll keep prattling because there are probably, I think there are a lot of readings going on right now, and we were just talking about the fact that we think there are a lot of readings coming up, but we don't know exactly what they are. So if anybody wants to shout out anything, tell us something coming up. Silence. Well, okay.
Oh, there's a summer series on Wednesday.
Yeah, there's summer series. Readings coming up on next Friday.
Maybe we'll do some research and tell you after the break. And then one thing I do know about is that in February, Spare Room is going to be doing their annual marathon reading. And this year it's going to be Alice Notley's Descent of Alette. And it's going to be William Blake as well. I don't know if they've decided what the Blake is. So that is going to be awesome. So stay tuned for details on that. So I'm going to go ahead. Is the sound better, everybody? Folks in the back, good? Okay, cool. Thanks. Thank you, Newland. So I am going to introduce C.E. Putnam. In 2012, his back catalog was published by Pizor Publications, and there are 6 poetry volumes. They are back there on that table. They are for sale. I think there are volume discounts, so check them out at the break. There's also a pretty cool bunny sticker that you can see, a replica right here, that comes free with purchase, so check that out. The titles there are Papier-Mâché Taj Mahal, XX Elegies, Spaces Where Spaces Are, Transmissions from the Institute, Maniac Box, and Things Keep Happening. So those 6 volumes from Pizor. And he's also the co-author of the book Crawl Space with the poet Daniel Comiskey.
Yeah, Rocket.
That's Chris's son, Nicholas. He's recently completed the first 3 years of his 4-year posting as poetry attaché for the Putnam Institute for Space Opera Research in Singapore. And tonight he's going to be reading to us from the Bunny Manuscript, and that's forthcoming. So what I love about C.E.'s work is that his poems represent a massive refusal of this internet show we live in called reality. Droning news and information, droning war, scandals and entertainments, the logic of privileged life in late capital. His poems instead insist on the seductive specificity of the absurd. What I learned from C.E.'s work, this is not it, the drone world, with all its consequent violence. We can imagine something else. We can remake the logics of our so-called reality, no matter how total. C.E. never stops doing that in his work, cutting spaces for a different kind of life, one filled with jouissance, painful and raw, and deliriously pleasurable, right down to the last bunny in the bunny army. Please welcome C.E.
Thanks, Allison. We'll start with this one, Lesson 9. The starfish and the sea urchin listen to the sea cucumber's song for Jen Coleman. The light, the shine inside, it says. The shine inside the light, it says. The fire inside the fire, it says. The smoke, the air, it rings, it says. The dark tastes its flesh, it says. Drawing in the dead light, it says. Into a throbbing maw, it says. The floor is sand and bones, it says. And when the shine is gone, it says. It's then the shadows go, it says. It's then the shadows go. I'm going to be reading from the Bunny Manuscript. It's in 5 books. Book one takes place in a city. Book two takes out this kind of a cowboy country western thing. They go out in the fields to visit the ghost village. Book three is on the island. There's a bad situation on the island, so they go up into the mountains. They spend some time at the Temple of the Goons. It's kind of like a prison camp monastery thing. And then at the end, they come back down the mountain, and there's a sea voyage to find the mountains at the end of the world. But we're just reading the first from the city and the ghost village part. So they're ordered by days, and I'm going to start reading from day five. At this point, the narrator has arrived, woke up in a river, met Herf, the retired submarine captain, also the Lord Mayor. There's some other characters. We've got Bunny, founder of the Order of the Four Orsons, Foot, a 6-foot-tall white radish, Alice, an investigative journalist, and then, of course, the Yaks, who are the followers of the Bunny. This is day five, Winding River, writing about the river he appeared in. Drop of water to drop of water. Dragonfly leisure and vagabond buzz debt, barging up river and down. 30 more years wearing flowered shirts, conversing with the bodies they want. Add temporary works. A knot of roots under a parking lot, an egret in its egg, wondering what its wings are for. But who is going to purchase that? Subtract phase rewards. We must write all our animals now. I revolve in the gravity of spirits above the sea electric, with Napoleon below on that prison island, beating the air, flightless and stupid. Red cranes spoil the beaches, and then my isolation feels so mechanical. I am following a single water bug's total circuit from truck bed to pink funnel to yellow work boots, lizards in the stairwell, ants in the walls. There is a deep, deep distance. I feel it out there, an internal ocean tiding up beyond any horizon. I need to see our planet in the water. The white flower does not stop going down. Day 12, the first time busting the universe. I began to pick up all sorts of information about my new home in general and the compound in particular. Herf suggested I take the galaxy tour. Ranger Doug's pants were too short, and his socks were too long. Their intention was to serve as a reminder that photography was prohibited throughout the tour. For sight preservation, white booties on our feet, purple nets on our heads. We did a loop of the garden, taking in the wild greens and flowers before entering the old lobby. The first step was the great mural. See how the rooster crows over honey-seeking insects, high as a mastodon clock, tending the only hive left in the world. The yaks come together to listen to the buzz choker inside the outer comb. We cannot fathom the limits of our world envelope because beyond us, as you know, our world is still mostly gas. Elephants rent the love crust shame and scratch all night. The mist veil is its own microclimate. Monkeys fight over and fuck ill-heavy beasts mired in peat. See them standing on the awards platform, overly proud with the levels of mercury in Lake Superior, chests puffed out and shaven. Too many cranberries to rake. Bunny walks on its knees, howling like a ripper, skinning them all down to a wire. Let's pause here to contemplate the rubble. It's time for a glass of wine. Day 35, outside Patterson. Spooky said, tell me about your fourth dream. Well, Pink Dawn hitchhiking. I'm in a pickup and I'm going to see the doctor for an annual physical with Jack Nicholson, and he is driving. He's got belly rolls of filet mignon, sicko guzzling spitbug moonshine foam from a jar. We had never seen each other before. He says he saw a vision of himself reborn in a hell world, holding a clear monkey cigar surrounded by nurses and manatees on fire, and came out of that inferno with an incredible lack of self-esteem. Germs, he says, germs are germs wherever they go, glazed onto the dashboard, dark and heavy, lacking dankness, and of modest green, a barely satisfactory huff of reefer from the heating vent, whirring hogs between crustacean shapes. But wait, what's in this stuff? Paralyzed chickens, hospital cinders, a gupping fish maw, Flossie opening her nightgown for a locust tree, a red petal edge of sky. I want to be in a separate examination room and away from this drug-enforced intimacy. His hand now is always somewhere on or near my body. But since my parents are dead, I could never get another brother. There is not any other good doctor for 154 miles. So in the Bunny manuscript, there's a TV show that is famous in this world called Cannibal Rebellion. And from time to time, my children will play it in the streets and such. And from time to time, there's an episode will appear. There was over 1,000 episodes, only 12 minutes long. This is episode 13. You usually catch it on the late night TV. This is from day 48, Cannibal Rebellion, episode 13, Don't Hold Your Breath. This is the name of the episode. Behind the longhouse, Auntie Alice wept to an animal paw wrapped in foil. It's too late. It is already the 6th second of forever. I want you to say you still love me as I love you, but these antennae are receiving too many signals for me to hear a thing. Morgan and Carrie, spying with glee at her grief, stepped out of the shadows. Where is your cane, Auntie? It's late. You should be inside. I just want to spend some time alone with my sweet potato. I am, after all, its mother. Later, upstairs, Morgan's mustache left his face for another. Skunk laughed and said that Morgan was arrogant to believe that such a gorgeous mustache belonged to him alone. Morgan stomped outside, put his head into the muck pond, took in a face full of foam, and returning to the house, blasted Skunk in the face with a geyser of poungy foam. Now listen, mustaches are my business, for I am a working mustache man with over 6 years of experience. Downstairs, after bathing, Carrie's hair spoke to her in the mirror. It was great news to hear about your promotion, but I have other plans for you. Carrie's hair ate itself ragged, and her skin pulled away from her face, eyes doubling and wild. Her lips uncurled, forming a crooked line, cracked and drooling. From behind, She strangle-wrapped her arms around Morgan. "Oh, my dear, I want to love as others do." Her tongue, eel-long now, joined with Morgan's tongue, filling their mouths, their throats, airless. But in close-up, you could see in their eyes a brief moment of pleasure in their last love-choked embrace. So there's a weird party, and then after the party, they end up at this park in day 67. I park and jump from the moon roof. Did you notice that sharp whistle? It was a police signal. It works like magic. The radio breeze caressed me onto my sleep gurney at the foot of Mount Rushmore. A night sky, a radish. I lost track of how beautiful music possessed supernormal powers. All of this punishment now includes me and my proper horror suit. My locket has more blood for you, Ben Franklin, singing into a bucket. Muscle shells and a little white sand. The vegetable puppets wore pre-moistened shorts inside each other. Humid trees touch, inside you twisted. I hold to the shadow the moon makes through the barnacles. A man falling from Abe Lincoln's nose. A night at a place where a hideous ghost sawing off the red feet of a pigeon taught Mary a new piece of music. Then Spooky fills up the files, releasing the puppets from their wretched condition to collect the feet she loved to stuff them. It is easy to pull weeds from the damp earth, still so far below me. We do not fear the policemen. They respect the law. So day 80, the narrator needs to get a job with mind command. Day 80, always stepping. The Lord Mayor planned ahead for Vanessa season. Those foghorns moved my ass out of the sea and off the earth for hours adrift in a haggard mist, from love and thrilling to the danger from turning up the mountain amplifiers. I should explain my built-up animosity, frothing long bodies with rope glare at me, and why, with a teeter-totter, must you require me to mark out a capsule landing spot? My third eye pupil realized that last night someone must have removed the bottle from the marijuana violation. I'm sure it was right there on the countertop, a burn hole still white with ash fire. That is why I had to take that job with mind command. It has to be borne in mind that only since my diagnosis can I have you nuzzling again in our room, and so soon after, satisfied. That will be our first bodily treasure, sensational. During the interview, I took a couple of deep breaths, saying, "Nothing, nothing, 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 loincloth, nothing, nothing, nothing." I wonder why they didn't more securely harness Herf and his 33 gods for the all-staff dinner party. So he was just free to roam and do as he pleased. Boss man Stinkmilk would later, after the coffee had been served, manacle our asses to informational rounds, all oozy weeds and timeshare Pequod obsessions. "The Vanessas are coming. The Vanessas are coming. The Vanessas are coming. Slid on bear, daydreaming about what the hell could get out that stubborn mustard stain. On the transistor in my ear, Lone Star wrestler coverage, then lobster wrestler coverage. A celebrated missionary traveler's droopy vibes, fooling itself into the belief that it is in top position. Finger-sized nibbles they live to sag under, clicking chicken fingers. Shit yeah, shit yeah, shit yeah. Cut them up and they will send down roots and grow. Since I ached, tying you up, back arched at a 90-degree angle, I can hear the sangria come a room closer by the giggles. Downstairs, all of the bunnies smelling themselves, and after setting fire to the dining room table, I realized that I couldn't relax, feeling my robot heart wasn't in the robot heart section. I could hear the audience applaud the conference room presentation as I went to check the shelf. Spooky, I force myself to see spirit spots so that I cannot not concentrate on these genuinely felt interiors. And I'm all outside when I get like this, watching her and the candle melt before the spaceship finds only ridicule in its search for the sublime. These ropes were a last sweet climb up. It might as well have been you, my lovely spooky, breaking apart. Okay, so the boss man of the city destroys their garden, and so they leave, decide to try their chances out in the ghost village. Day 123. Kiss me, Lucille Aloha, Skeleton Aloha. Yak Handler Ken grabbed the reins again, his ghost horse foaming up at me inside the buffalo boxcar I now call my home. By nightfall, the horse was buried in the falling crematorium snow. The mice set up a gambling board and began to play among the gray flakes. Through a knothole, I saw a field that had just been burned to enrich the soil, an awful feeling to visually understand. It looks like it's starting to rain. I am not yet strong enough to resist her, Ken said. He climbed a tree and poked himself in the eye. I want to be just like you. This, Lucille Aloha Skeleton did. She sat down on my radius, left me cold. Lucille has no suffering herself, but spreads it around through song. He carried her into his hut and made a fire to dry her off and warm her up. He goes with the yaks whenever they wander at night, and even when he cases something fine, he doesn't go out of their sight. When he returned that evening, his horse had left only an ashless shadow behind. He was humming drunk in a river of fire, the wood hut now cracking and smoke-choked. The warning present is a compliment above the breastplate. It is her best song, her sweet skin dreaming without bones. Day 128, worms in their biscuits. Ken said Curly Ben is a bullet hole. He is not the same as me. Curly Ben says Ken sells gazelle legs to earn a humble living. Bent over and partially hunchbacked, Ken sees what's inside the young and their strong desires. Velveteen hammocks, midget trees bearing fruit, easy to wear cult wear. A whip cracked over my head as they continued beaning and smoking together. I just listen from here on in. Curly Ben claimed he blindfolded the landfill crooks, his third finger long enough to choke a cow. Tongue to cut tongue, the blood sticky mess was already clotted, weeds flame in their cheeks. The dough is thrice folded over and left to rise. Ken sure made that pumpkin roller look like a yak lover. Their play was take the hand off the doubt monkey and hold on to its 500 lives, if briefly. Something turns inside every bite. There will be no peace in that valley fringed with pines. The soft part of them, their heartbeats, clung to a willow at dry bottom, picking radishes at the side of the road. Day 157. This is dedicated to the Washington State ferry system. When the heart prophesizes this crisis of blood. Cross River Ferry home. Inebriated black stretch pants want everything. Bottles of whiskey by every cashier, gasping, just so, the water's so cold. Knocking kneecaps, we are having it all. Stale popcorn and sweating meats, false eyelashes and fingernails, a profane succession of parts. All the way down, well-oiled tongues, missing the mouth's circumference. I want my face without any nourishment. Trick vinyl, greased and gouty, gunk gnomes consider raising alpacas for food, fur, and fun. The light is a kind of facade. The alien visions come energized in circles, micro scratches on the skin, filling with pink, but we are not, in reality, inside that infection. Rubber peeling apart the fisheye mirror, watching our necks bob faster until we consume every last drop. Day 164, before you put it in the pan. Ministry, Magistry, Ministry says, the citizen's only power can be realized through, but I stop listening and think, spanking red tofu, don't fight it. 27 times, I think, don't fight it, spanking red tofu. Okay, got three more left here. Lesson 7. I asked the bunny, is this rock your book? And the bunny said, changeling butterfly, how did you grow stratiless rock wings that crack cheek to cheek, styling up Cleopatra eyeshadow and bangs, hand over hand over hand, occult belt buckle against my belly? Woo! I'm pure fume freaking your drone body hovering over mine. I love nipple attacks. During wartime, is there any other kind? While pre-pupil skinks cower in dirt from raining cake crumbs, and I tussle with a shoe swinging from a bright green rabbit toe. They look right at me. We rub together our warty snouts, and so what are you doing here? Avoiding the sunshine too? Another translucid incident in our radiation-shortened life, a couch impatient for an ass to ask its final question. Day 210, the whale that swims within him. A slow moon in the sink. Prune finger beauties in simple soap suds. the only way we could get the kiss to complete our circuit of orange. And so the inevitable fade back and forth between us, back to the very beginning. We will need a lot more animals like these miniature yaks to keep kindness from here on in. Just watch how we move the wealth of the world around. Our yuck capitalism is where it's at, everything. We will sleep tonight in the hills among the forest kind. Day 220. What about ghostly love? Long ago, multitudes of bunnies were killed by their enemies loaded up on 1,000 milligram caplets of rampage. The mad bunny said he killed the voices from the siren and then put his ear to the locked grooves of the extension ladder, flying suddenly free of rungs, feeling himself a cactus lit up with red candles and falling. He pouched the dried leaves of evil tea, cruel and sweet, and left the arena and entered the parking lot mad with speed, braking and honking. Whiplashed Alice comes and goes. Look, the fair is coming to town. In the bug booth, a woodlouse will break your back over a decaying stump so it can wring your body and roll you into a ball, oozing under the mud plow. We enjoy the damp and playing in puddles, and that is how we love. Thank you.